Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
I want to know, where the hell is J.D. Vance? Where is he? Where is Tulsi Gabbard? Because if they stand by and are silent, and they're turning back on the same words they said, it's all on video. All of them are on video saying it, just like I'm on video saying no more foreign wars, no more regime change. I'm on video on campaign stages and at Trump rallies saying the exact same thing. But where's J.D. and where's Tulsi?
And where is Vice President J.D. Vance? We are on day 8 of the United States and Israel's joint war with Iran, and Vice President Vance has only posted 2 to 3 times on social media since the beginning of this war. This is coming from a uniquely loud and argumentative vice president who was all over my Twitter feed arguing about every other issue, was more than happy to argue in favor of Venezuelan regime change, in favor of ICE killing US citizens. He was getting in arguments with my friends on the timeline about ICE and Renee Nicole Good. But now, J.D. Vance is suddenly quiet and can only muster up a post about the 6 dead service members that he had to attend a dignified transfer for. Now, of course, J.D. Vance is a former service member who is known for being very anti-interventionalist, like actually anti-interventionist, not just Donald Trump's fake foe America First that he flips on a dime. It seems like J.D. Vance has a genuinely principled stance against going to war with other countries for no reason, which is one of the only, if the only, principled stance that he possibly holds. But backing up, we are now on day 8 of the United States and Israel's joint war with Iran, and the scenes coming out of the country are quite apocalyptic. Last night, the reports are that the United States and Israel bombed a major oil depot. After the airstrike, oil spilled from the depot onto the streets. There was a tall black cloud reaching into the sky that was seen. The oil then began to enter the sewers and the drainage system. And as I'll show you in a video in just 1 second, there were walls of flames on the highways of Tehran because the oil was on fire and it was reaching down the streets. This is the first major hit on Iran's oil infrastructure in the war, and this refinery apparently is responsible for 20% of their oil, which would be a massive, massive hit. What an insane, insane sight to see, this smoke cloud reaching into the sky. In this next clip, you see the oil getting lit on fire in the sewers throughout the street. There are walls of fire down the streets of Tehran. The United States and Israel has created an apocalyptic war zone, and Donald Trump is claiming that the war is over and we can wipe our hands. It is clearly not over. Here is Frederick Plytkin from CNN, who is in Iran. He's one of the few journalists, if the only journalist, who was given access to go report on the ground, and he reported that it was raining oil in Tehran this morning. Then we'll talk about J.D. Vance's involvement, or I guess lack of involvement, in this all. He's only really showed up for one quick interview and then the dignified transfer after 6 soldiers died. But either way, make sure you drop a like to help boost the message. If you appreciate the work that we do, you can subscribe to the Adam Ochler feed below. It genuinely means the world. We are building a very strong community to push back against the authoritarian forces in the midterms and beyond. So thank you.
This is what Tehran is waking up to this morning. The sky above the city is covered in very thick black clouds. You can see that everywhere. That's the west of the city over there, and this is the north of the city. Normally, if you look to that direction, you could actually see the Alborz Mountains, but now all of that is also covered in clouds. That comes after major airstrikes in the south and the west of the city happened last night, where oil installations were hit, oil storage facilities. Apparently also a refinery might have been hit as well. And now you can see this morning that the sky is still very dark. We saw thick black plumes of smoke in the sky yesterday. There were massive fires in the south of the city. But I want to show you something else, because it's also raining. But you can see that the rainwater is actually black, also saturated it appears, with oil. And then if we look over there, you can see that the water that's running down here also is black. So that's what's coming down this morning, this sort of oil-filled rain that we have right now on the Iranian capital after the strikes took place.
Wow, absolutely insane scenes coming out of Iran. And Donald Trump just posted, the United Kingdom, our once great ally, maybe the greatest of them all, is finally giving serious thought to sending two aircraft carriers to the Middle East. That's okay, Prime Minister Starmer. We don't need them any longer, but we will remember. We don't need people that join wars after we've already won. This may be the worst form of leadership I've ever seen. I hate our own president after reading this. How are you going to start a reckless war, or rather get pulled into a reckless war by Netanyahu, and then after U.S. service members died, you're going to patronize and be smug towards allies who are genuinely just trying to help. The United Kingdom was like, hey, we can go support you guys for deterrence if you want, because we just want everyone to be safe here. And Trump's like, we don't want people to join wars after we've won. As Trump is posting this, this is what Tehran, the capital city of Iran, looks like. What do you mean we've won? It seems like you guys are still actively bombing them. And Trump is actively going to the dignified transfer of service members who died in this active war. It is very clearly not over. And I want to point out that this clip is going incredibly viral, Fox News, just this morning, because what they had to do was use old footage of a previous dignified transfer, I believe from 2019 or 2020, in order to mislead their audience about the fact that Donald Trump wore a baseball cap during this dignified transfer. Let's check J.D. Vance's Twitter and you'll see Donald Trump wore a baseball cap during this. A legitimate baseball cap during a dignified transfer. This photo looks like that one chart in science class that shows the de-evolution of men. It shows the men slowly devolving as it goes on. But either way, watch this clip of Donald Trump being sane-washed by Fox News as they play an old video of an old dignified transfer.
Now to your headlines, President Trump, First Lady Melania Trump, Vice President J.D. Vance, and Secretary Lady Usha Vance attending a dignified transfer to honor the final homecoming of the six U.S. service members killed in Kuwait. The solemn ritual returns the remains of troops killed in action. It is considered one of the most somber duties of a commander-in-chief. President Trump promising the nation that they will all be remembered as heroes.
Yeah, the only problem is this is very clearly from a previous dignified transfer, and you can look no further than J.D. Vance's own Twitter account, in which he shows Trump in a completely different outfit. The Atlantic says, in some sense, Vance is suffering the typical fate of the vice president, who is forever on display but seldom listened to. This is something that commonly happens. The vice president is on display and is paraded around for these types of events, but is never really, truly listened to. This is a major come down from the role he once seemed likely to fill. Vance's nomination as vice president was not a concession to the Republican Party of old, but a promise of the Republican Party to come, of Trumpism after Trump. Instead, he has receded in importance in the past year, less essential to economic policy than Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent, less influential on immigration than Stephen Miller, less persuasive on foreign affairs than Marco Rubio and Special Envoy Steve Witkoff. That may help explain why, after the Iran strike, Vance ended up alongside not Trump, but Tulsi Gabbard, who, like the vice president, seems out of sync with the administration's policies. This is referring to when J.D. Vance was not in the Situation Room with Trump and Marco Rubio. He was not there with the big boys. He was in the Situation Room with Tulsi Gabbard. Tulsi Gabbard is the one person in the administration who is as vehemently anti-intervention as J.D. Vance's. J.D. Vance's anti-intervention is honestly just dumb. I'm just going to say it. It's dumb. There is a big difference between being, quote, anti-war and being so anti-intervention that you likely would have said the U.S. should stay out of World War II, therefore leading to a Nazi takeover of all of Europe. I mean, intervention sometimes is incredibly necessary to see World War II. Here is Marjorie Taylor Greene making the exact same point that I'm making in this video. She said a few days ago, where the hell is J.D. Vance? Where is Tulsi Gabbard? They're turning their back on the words they said. It's all on video.
And I want to know, where the hell is J.D. Vance? Where is he? Where is Tulsi Gabbard? Because if they stand by and are silent And they're turning back on the same words they said. It's all on video. All of them are on video saying it, just like I'm on video saying no more foreign wars, no more regime change. I'm on video on campaign stages and at Trump rallies saying the exact same thing. But where's JD and where's Tulsi? And the president.
Well, I'm sure behind the scenes, at least JD has worked to stop this, but he's lost. I mean, that's
got to say
what's obvious now is any detractor. The same way Tucker went in and tried to talk Trump out of this.
And I want to know where.
Now, they're making the exact same point that I am, which usually would scare me if Marjorie and Megyn Kelly were making the same point. But in this case, we're totally right. J.D. Vance, despite his public-facing alignment with the administration, is absolutely against this behind the scenes. Now, the reason why he is publicly supporting this administration is because that's what the vice president has to do, especially in a time of war. Yes, this is a time of war. We are going to war with the Middle East. J.D. Vance can't just contradict the president openly. That's not even how it usually would work under Biden or under Obama and Biden or under Clinton. Like, no other president is going to openly be arguing with their vice president while a war starts. Now, what is happening is the administration members are contradicting each other publicly because they're all just absolute idiots. But Vice President J.D. Vance has opted for silence. He posted a few days ago the Save America Act. This is one of the only posts he's made since the war started. These posts, and then he did go on Fox News to say this won't be a forever war. The one time he did go on the news since this started was just to clarify that this will not be a forever war. So he was actually trying to reel everybody back and say this will not be one of those forever wars. When J.D. Vance went on Meet the Press with Kristen Welker last June to speak about this, he made it very clear that he does not want regime change. He does not want to protract this. He does not want a forever war. It's very clear he's just intrinsically repulsed by the idea of another forever war in the Middle East. Anybody who is age 20 to age 50, roughly, many people in the audience who are in that age range, and even older, of course, can just point to the utter destruction we caused in the Middle East in the mid-2000s and beyond and use that as a framework to not want another forever war. It's especially visceral for a lot of my friends who were in their mid-30s or 40s because I've spoken to a few people who were like, yeah, my first introduction into politics was graduating high school in 2005 or whatever and seeing that we were at war with other countries for no reason. I've talked to a few people who have said that to me, and I can kind of appreciate that. Because when I graduated high school, we were super deep in this Trumpified American politics, and it really changes the way you looked at everything.
Our view has been very clear that we don't want a regime change. We do not want to protract this or build this out any more than it's already been built out. We want to end their nuclear program, and then we want to talk to the Iranians about a long-term settlement here.
This was 8 months ago, so it was protracted longer. You didn't end their nuclear settlement, and when he says, our view is that we don't want regime change, yeah, seems like you once again disagree with your president because Donald Trump has been hinting towards regime change this entire time. I'm going to leave it there. If you appreciate these videos, drop a like, subscribe. I'll see you in the next one. Peace out.
Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.